Woot. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Yep.
To the Toddcast in the French. The Toddcast. How about that World Cup? It's kicking ass everywhere. It was pretty crazy. I was watching Norway and Iraq the other day on Tuesday night. And I'm pretty sure the only Iraq fans in the entire stadium, I don't think they existed. I think every fan in the stadium was Norwegian.
They probably weren't allowed in the country, to be fair.
What I heard was there was actually a couple guys from the team that, like, there was something wrong with their visas and they couldn't come in. So,
shocked.
It was very interesting.
Shocked. Well, anyway. I heard it's already more, it was more successful than that UFC event. So.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But. Like, anyway, but yeah, so welcome to the show, guys. If you don't know, I'm John. That's Justin. Yeah.
We got lots of fun stuff today.
Yeah, for sure. Hold on.
We're getting back into our groove of comic books and. Got a couple of celebrity deaths. So
yeah. I mean, other than Heroes was last weekend. I heard it was great. I had a lot of people that sent me really fun pictures and wish you were here's and all kinds of stuff.
the usual.
However, I actually got to go up to Edinburgh and be initiated into a different chapter as an honorary member for Phi Mu Alpha. For those of you guys who don't know, I'm a member of Phi Mu Alpha. It's an all-men's music fraternity. I joined in college. It's a music social fraternity. And I'm the current province governor for my chunk of the country. And so Edinburgh is celebrating 50 years of being in existence. So I went up there not knowing that they were going to initiate me. Got to see a whole bunch, about 70 guys from over 50 years worth of time. Hang out with them, meet some new friends, meet some people I haven't see some people I haven't talked to in almost 25 years. It was a lot of fun. And then they initiated me and my mentor, province governor, into there, at the same time. So that was kind of cool for me. So thank you if any of the brothers were watching or listening, cause I know some of you do. So, but yeah, other than that, you know, we have a Magic pre-release this weekend for the Marvel superheroes. We'll see how that goes.
I will be participating. I will give it a shot. I will see what happens with that.
I'm gonna I'll only participate if they need me to participate. Like if I need to be an even number. So other than that, I will not be. I'll just be running Cranberry. It'll be fine. I may be looking through a Giant-S collection that I have to go buy this out tomorrow afternoon. We'll see how that goes too. Ooh. So, yeah.
It's always fun.
Yeah. So, but yeah. That's pretty much my week in a nutshell. Oh, I got my 7-string back from Guitar Center finally, because Music Man finally sent the freaking pickup. Sounds great again. I love it.
Nice. So,
yeah. All right. So, why don't you do your celebrity deaths?
All right. Well, we had a couple here that were, one is very, they're both sad. So, condolences to both families. Anne, she then, you may know her from Alf. She was the one who played the mother of the family that Alf stayed with.
Oh.
She was 77 and then died of natural causes.
Okay.
She was also in Three's Company, which I did not know. But that was like a little bit before our time there of TV watching, unless you watched it in reruns.
I did.
I watched it, but I don't think I remember her per se. I remember watching her in Alf.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't remember her watching anything beyond her being in anything beyond Alf. So I'm sure she was, but that's all. But those are the major ones that I think people would remember her for. And Davy Chase passed away. She was 35. Apparently, she died of sepsis. For those who don't know her, she was the voice actor for Lilo in Lilo and Stitch. She also played Samantha Darko in Donnie Darko. So that,
The sister, right?
yes.
Yeah.
So that was a bit sad there.
That is a little sad.
Died at very young. I mean, 35. It's ooh.
What was her name?
It's Davon? Davy. Well, it's pronounced Davy, I guess, but it's DAVEIGH.
Which Lilo and Stitch was she in? The original, the 2002 one?
She was the voice of Lilo
Oh,
in
yeah, she
the
took
voice
her own
actor.
life, actually, from what I understand. Because
Well,
I saw some of that about that on the internet yesterday.
okay.
She was also in The
Well,
Ring.
yeah, she
She was
played
the
the
creepy girl from The Ring.
creepy girl in the ring. Yeah, so she did some
Oh, she was on
iconic.
Big Love for a long time.
Yeah. So it's she had a very she was a she was she had a very rough Hollywood
She was in S.
life.
Darko. She came back for S. Darko. I think she was the main character in S. Darko. So.
But she was one of the actresses that kind of got into the issue with the Epstein, or not the, I don't want to say Epstein, the Weinstein stuff. So it's one of those things of rough life, dealing with tragedy and essay and all that kind of fun stuff. So condolences to her family. Condolences to Anne's Shidi's family. So it's unfortunate.
Oh man, she was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch for one episode.
So those are the two major pop culture celebrity
Right.
deaths. I mean, there are other athletes that passed away, but none that I think most people would remember. Nobody iconic or anything along that line. But because I know a pro wrestler died as well, but it was well before our time of pro wrestling, watching pro wrestling.
Right.
So, and he was like 86 or something,
Right.
which for a wrestler, that's ancient.
I wish people would stop blowing up my phone when they know I'm not supposed to be on, like, available. So, yeah. Also, yeah, we in the chat we got she was also Chihiro in Spirited Away. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
she was voiced the English version, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I don't really have a lot of other stuff, to
Well, I
be
know,
honest. Like,
was it? They released new trailers for upcoming
yeah, for
stuff.
X-Men, yeah, they're, for actually
That's
for a
coming up
couple things.
here in a couple weeks,
Well, they
so.
did X-Men, they did Supergirl, and they did what was the other one? Spider-Man. I'll be honest, of the three, I think I'm the most pumped for Supergirl, then X-Men, then Spider-Man. Just 'cause that's how my brain works, I guess.
Well, you get to see we got to see like full on Lobo on the in
Yeah.
this trailer, which I think everybody was looking forward to. I think that's the not dissing on Supergirl herself or the actress that plays her. But I think more people were interested in Jason Momoa's portrayal of Lobo.
Eh, I mean,
I
sure. But I mean, I actually thought the best part of the trailer so far is where she crash lands on Earth and then Superman's there to be like, "Oh yeah, I don't speak Kryptonian, but you should come with me," and blah 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 blah. And then it's like, "And your power should be kicking in right about now." And then it just worked out pretty funny. So, yeah.
Yeah, but the Spider trailer, you got to see a little bit more of the Scorpion. X-Men 97, you got to see, which actually is part of our book review too. You're getting to see a little bit more of the dynamic and how they're going to deal with it. I think it's going to be a lot of split episodes, I think, where like they had for the first season, where you're going to have you're going to see what half the X-Men are doing and the other half of the, well, they're going to have to. I mean, they could do like each episode back and forth, but I think they're going to do the split thing.
I agree.
You get to see more Exodus, which I'm kind of excited to see there a little bit, because that is a very underrated X-Men enemy that we don't nearly talk about, or they don't nearly use as much as they should.
Right.
So that should be interesting. But yeah, we're slowly starting to get that pop culture going a little bit here. I know it was He-Man did not do spectacular,
Which is sad
but
because everyone should go see it because that movie's
yeah,
awesome.
I think a lot of people are seeing it. It's just the movie industry is so bad right now. It doesn't matter what's in the theater. It's not, none of, nothing's doing. I think Master Universe fans like you and I are like, we want to see it. But then I talk to Mads and like the expense to go see a movie is insane. You're almost better going to see a concert. It's almost cheaper to go see a concert than it is to go see a movie.
Well, it depends on what you get at the movie theater, but yeah. Well, yeah, because like for our tickets, which we saw it in Dolby, plus the Skeletor bucket was like $60, just that for my ticket plus that, like that's a lot of money for a movie. Like I don't mind paying the $20 and just going because it's cool to see stuff on the big screen sometimes, but like. To like if you have a family of four, like that's nuts. Like if you have
No.
kids and you're trying to take them, no. That's why
You're
streaming is
better
a
off
huge
going to try to
thing.
see a Steeler game at this rate. Going to a Steeler game is insane.
I don't know. Taking a family of four to a Steeler game is gonna be way more. But yeah, like if you're it's still not great. It's not. So but anyway.
It's one of those things, but it's not because the movie's bad. If anything, I'm hearing the most positive review,
Yeah.
like
Like if I
ever.
remember, hold on, let me double check 'cause I want to say it's Rotten Tomatoes score is huge.
It's which for, usually in movies that we go see, Rotten Tomatoes are usually like we poo-poo it because it's usually bad scoring.
Right.
So to see a movie that Rotten Tomatoes is like, oh, it's actually a pretty
It's
good
got
movie.
a 68 from the critics and from the audience, it's an 87.
Actually, a
Which
68 from
outside
the
of.
critics is not bad.
So. Let's see here. Backrooms has an 88 and a 74. So it's almost like flip-flopped. Stop That Train is about the same. Scary Movie is 23 critic. 66 audience. Well, like, let's put it this way. Hold on one second. Let me double check that.
For a
60.
summer
Hold on. Hold
blockbuster,
on.
it's pretty good.
68.87 compared to Mandalorian and Grogu, which has a 62.87. So, It's got a same. It's got the same crowd. Score
audience
as
score. Yeah.
Yeah, has that's the same Masters. Audience score as Masters. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. It's all the fandoms, you know. They were never. It was never going to be an Oscar-worthy movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not why we went to see it.
Right, but also but remember, like when we were talking about it, like the last outside of the Kevin Smith stuff from like 2 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, we haven't had anything since like 2002.
Yeah.
Right. And that only went one season. And then before that, it was the last time we had anything was like 1989. Yeah. So maybe not, maybe '90s, early '90s because of the new Adventures of He-Man.
Yeah.
But
that was 89 yeah. into the '90s. Yeah. So it was,
yeah.
And that was when they were trying to revive the toy line and it just did not translate well at all. So,
no, the 2000s one did though because it was all McFarlane toys and it looked awesome. So
yeah, and they did it very anime style fighting, like the fighting.
Not really. Were. I think they just updated the animation. They did the same with Thundercats during that era, and the Thundercats was also awesome.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. This is why we don't have a live action Thundercats movie either. So.
Well, and I imagine. Digitally enhancing hair on like the fur outfit and everything, I think that would be super expensive.
No, CGI. They should do it super campy and have it be like white face paint with like the like you know like the dots.
Well, it's got to be better than tell cats, they're wearing.
The you can tell movie. They're just wearing a leotard. Like that's what I want. That's what I want for my Thundercats movie. You listening, watching? You need to tell us. How would you like your Thundercats movie if it were live action? CGI Abby or just camp it up and make the suits and do it? Because I want to like dip the rock in gray and make him Panthro. Like,
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I could see him playing Panthro.
Actually, I can see Jason.
He's
Momoa
not as jacked Panthro, as he was, actually. Though.
Yeah, I know. That's
it might not work. Yeah,
I can see Momoa doing it though. I can see Momoa or what the hell's that dude's name? He's from Pittsburgh.
I could see like what's his name? Roman Reigns doing it.
Oh yeah, he would be alright too.
I could see him
too.
Do it. Yeah.
The guy that was in True Blood, he was the werewolf. He's from Mount Lebanon. He was dead, or he was Deathstroke in like the end of the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. Yeah,
yeah.
Mike. So,
Mangino.
Yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he would be a good option for Panthro. So,
yeah, he's still jacked.
Although, so yeah. I mean, I also think it would be super awesome to have, like, why can't I think of this dude's name either? Cruz, I can't remember his first name. The dude from an Idiocracy.
I know who you're talking about.
Something Cruz. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The one who's the president. His name up here. He played the
president. Yeah, yeah, that guy. Yeah. Yeah. He would be an amazing Panthro.
Folks, you know it's a rough night when we can't remember people's names at all, like actors' people's at all. It's been a long week.
It
between
has.
John doing his stuff, the Mills has been insane because I spent 2 days on Funko. I have Funko serial numbers on the fucking boxes and shit in my head right now.
Good.
All
right.
I shouldn't have that stuff in my head, John.
I know. All right. Well, to get you to not think about that for a while, let's talk comics.
Yep.
So I only read two this week, by the way. So you get to do three, and I will do two.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that means odds are mine. All right. We have. Now this is this is older. This was like the end of May, so I imagine this came out while we were busy doing the con. I think this was like the week of the con, I think.
Probably.
The week before, I think, maybe. But this is Corpse Night number two, where we left off with Foy and Corpse Knight, who's her dad, are on they're on a journey to find Joan of Arc to help cure Corpse Knight of his being a corpse, basically being a zombie. They run into an old man who is traveling on on the path that they're taking, and he gives him a map and he tells him, "Oh, this is the best way to get to France." And Foy notices that they can get to their destination faster if they cut through this forest. The old man tells them that the forest is cursed, that there's something evil in that forest. Well, of course, what does Foy do? Decides to go through the forest because, hey, you have an unstoppable zombie dad. What could possibly go wrong? Well, they get attacked by a herd of zombified wolves. So while Corpse Knight is battling the wolves, Foy falls down a hill and she loses her balance and falls down a hill. The Corpse Knight almost gets taken out by the wolf, which you know that's not really going to hurt him any, but an arrow shoots through the last wolf, and Corpse Knight is joined by a bunch of villagers who are looking for the one elder's grandson. Now, at first, they think Corpse Knight is human until they notice his sword, which again is the sword that belonged to the group that murdered him to begin with. And this is starting to all tie together into some cultish witchcraft type stuff going on. One of the villagers notices that this is the sword belongs to what do they call it? I want to say cult leader, but that's not right. But they end up stabbing Corpse Knight till he falls. And of course he gets up, and we don't see what happens, but you can use your imagination. While this is going on, Foy is looking for Corpse Knight. She sees a rundown building that looks like it's being occupied because she sees candles and fire. So she goes towards that. She finds an altar that indicates that there's witchcraft going on. She sees a bag and she undoes the bag and out pops the boy that everybody was looking for, the villagers were looking for. And he says, "Hey, we have to get away. He's coming back." And Foy's like, "Who?" And the boy's like, "White Mask." So here's another, this is probably the big bad, I think, of the story. Well, they leave as soon as White Mask gets back. Now, to avoid getting caught, they jump down a waterfall into a waterfall. Foy gets caught because the White Mask grabs her by the hair. She turns around, she bites his hand, so she takes a piece of his finger. As her and we found out the boy's name is Gabriel. After they survive jumping from the waterfall, she finally sees her dad, who is beat up like crazy, per usual, because I'm sure he took out all the guys. And she's like, "Oh, dad, what did you do?" And that is the end of the book. I still really like this. This is a really good book. I can't wait. Was I think the end, I think next week is the is when issue three comes out. I am thoroughly enjoying it. The art is excellent. The writing is really good. And we're starting to slowly piece together stuff. Gotta find a proper song for this here. That's what I forgot to look up, is songs here. Here
It's
we
been
go. Here's
waiting a
an
month.
here's a good here's a here's a good one. Zombie Stomp by Ozzy. It's from the
There you
No
go.
More Tears album here. I forgot
That's
about
not
that
bad.
one.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to stay away from, because of course there was the Cranberries, which that's obvious.
Yeah.
Wanted to stay away from Rob Zombie, because anything Rob Zombie is, there. But yeah.
I did watch this excellent reaction video of a mom playing Dracula for her kid in the
Oh
car,
yeah.
and the kid's like 13, and she's like, "This is so cringy. I can't even understand it." And like, this is like the mom's is like, "Dig through the ditches to bird." It was so funny. Like, she's just like, "I don't know what I'm more embarrassed about, listening to this song or were you dancing to it?" I was like, "That's funny." So, but anyway, all right. My first book is Trillion Dollar Kid number one from the Ghost Machine guys. So it's Geoff John, Tomasi, and Manapul all writing it, or all creating it. Geoff Johns, Tomasi wrote it, Stefano Simone drew it, and Manapul did the cover. So this starts out where a kid who you find out is it's Thomas something. The hell's his middle name? It's Thomas something, and then it goes back to a T. Hold on, I'll find it because there's a page where it. Oh, here we go, maybe. Thomas something Townshend. And I just find it funny that his initials spell TNT. That's why I want to find his middle initial. So let me just first start by saying the art in this book is absolutely insane. Like, insane. Yeah. Thomas Noble Townsend. The third, by the way. The third. So you find out his grandfather, like, basically created the Band-Aid. Then his parents ran it, and they almost bankrupted it until he came up with the because everybody else wanted the like the pictures on them, the weird shapes, whatever. And then he created the ouchless one, so you could peel it off and it wouldn't hurt. So he ended up becoming the first trillion-dollar child. But in here, they talk about some of the other weird things that are going on in the world. So, the Grant Wishing Genie, which is in, which is a whole separate thing. The Grumpy Ghost in Boise, the cul-de-sac in Harmony, Pennsylvania. Right. Yep, that's where the unbelievables are. And then yeah, there's him. Oh, they also talk briefly about the like they talk a little bit about how the Rockefellers are in there too, but they don't really mention them by name. So anyway, he's in Cherry Pit, Michigan. And the art in this book is just like I said, gorgeous. It's like painted. So his parents and grandparents never wanted to be in the spotlight. So he said, "I do." So he wants to put it in there. So his sister lives with his parents, and he has like a robot butler, and named Sterling because he's Sterling Silver. That's him behind him on the cover. Right? I thought that was pretty funny. So like, he gets like a message from one of the other billion-dollar kids instead of he's a trillion-dollar kid, about how they the other guy beat him to it. He's almost like his mortal enemy. But they talk about some of the other stuff he invented to make the world better. Like he did, like he fed his whole town with like pizzas being parachuted, some other stuff. And then the main thing in this book he talked about is how he built roller coasters that replace the school bus. So kids ride this roller coaster that goes all the way to the school, instead of having to ride the bus. And it gets them all excited about being there instead of not being all schlubby and crap. So the principal is kind of like, you can't have this on property. You need to dismantle it. And he's just like, he basically like leverages him into paying off his mortgage so that he'll let him keep the roller coaster going to the school, which was pretty cool. You see the screen that the teacher's screen on his computer, and he's playing solitaire. Then he meets this one guy, this one kid who just doesn't want to meet it or doesn't want to ride it to school because he's like, it's like you're trying to buy your friends. And he's like, but that's not what I'm doing at all. But he doesn't know how to not come off that way. So like the rest of the book is him kind of coming to terms with that. And he goes into his vault area, right? And it's like password, and his password for the vault is "The curious creatures of Dr. Moreau have left the island." That's the password for his vault room to get into there. And
Wow.
in it, he has his grandfather's house, like still intact, and he has he has a map of the U.S. or the U.S. and Canada, where he's like, posting, like he's trying to figure out where all these other things are happening, and Harmony, Pennsylvania is definitely on there. So I thought that was kind of cool. The rest of the book is him kind of getting ready to go find these guys. So the first people he's going to go look into in the Unbelievables, part two, is Halo and Hornsby number 14. So he's going to find the devil and the angel that are up there in Maine, right? Is that where they're at? I think that's what it says. Oh, you, New York. Sorry. Warwick, New York. Warwick, New York. So that's where they're at. This book was a lot of fun. I had a blast with it. I think it's very cool. Very fun. If you're liking the Ghost Machine stuff, I definitely recommend picking this up. And we do have extra copies. They're just all up in Elwood right now. Everyone will be getting more copies on between Monday and Wednesday next week. So if you're still looking for this book and you need a copy, we got you. Yeah, just check it out for sure. It's a lot of fun. If you like Geoff Johns, it also is very Geoff Johnsy. Oh, my song for it is Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Babies.
He's
Boom.
gonna have to make another song called Trillion Dollar.
$1 trillion teenagers.
I was gonna say $1 trillion something, but I don't want to get banned off of YouTube, so.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Absolute Batman number 21. And yeah, this gets really interesting. Batman gets to take on the Robin Hood, or the not Robin Hood, the Robin crew And boy, he pretty much kicks their butt for the most part because they get in each other's way constantly because what is it? I think I'm trying to remember who's in what. Two of them are in giant mech suits, and then three of them are on the ground wearing like more bat like regular sized battle suits. And Batman, of course, takes care of them all in his own way. Climbs up the back of one of the giant mechs, and they end up taking out like half of downtown Gotham trying to catch them. He gets away because Batman gets away from them by playing it smart, but also Harley sends the bat droids, which is basically just little droids with little bat heads on them. And they're just flying around getting in the Robin's way. And the one he gets on a hold of one of the droids and gets carried away. Then we get a flashback to Bruce talking to Gort Gordon, while he was working for Bruce, worked for Falcone at one point in time to work off a debt he apparently made. Even though his friends, who isn't or who are later in this book, helped him pay back, but he's still working for Falcone so he could get money to pay back his friends because he said, quote, "I don't want to owe my friend. I don't want my friends to. I don't want to owe my friends like this," is, I guess, is how he put it. And it's an interesting little perspective, and it kind of adds another piece to the puzzle of how Bruce became Batman. Then we go to the funeral. Everybody's there. The Robin group decides to talk to Barbara, and she doesn't really want anything to do with them because she's like, "I don't know if Batman's good or bad, but my dad believed in him." And she's like, "You guys literally destroyed half of downtown just trying to catch this man." And they're like, "Well, we're the law and he isn't." And she's like, "No, you're not." And she just walks away. But all of Bruce's friends are at the funeral for everybody to see. Like you see here on the cover, this is an interesting version of Two-Face. I love this. With his long hair, and he doesn't really use the coin like as much. Like he still flips it, but I don't think he uses it like the way we are used to seeing him as far as making decisions. The way he, well, they all start talking after the funeral. Bruce isn't there, of course. Well, he's there, but he doesn't join, I should say. So all his friends are talking, and they're like, "Well, do you think Bruce killed him?" And they're all pretty much saying, "We don't think he did, but we're not sure," because they all kind of consider themselves monsters now because of what Bane did to them, each of them. And of course, Waylon, it's like, "You guys, we are still people. We are still us. We just have to help each other out when we don't, when we start getting out of hand." Oswald is like, "I'm no longer Oswald. I'm Penguin." It's like there's the whole duality of them fighting their urges to become evil, but they're trying to stay loyal. They're trying to stay somewhat human, which is pretty cool. It's a cool little insight into that. But the best part of this book is the very end, where Jack Grimm finally meets Bruce face to face. And Bruce is in a construction site, doing his job, and he's just standing there. His boss is like, "Hey, investors want to meet you." And Bruce is like, "Well, I'm finishing up here and I will, see you guys like down the floor." And all the investors go with his boss except one. And that one investor, of course, is Jack Grimm. Well, the confrontation pretty much goes as you would think, with him going, like Jack saying, "Well, I made you." He's like, "And I have to say, I really enjoy making you, and I don't want this to stop." And he's like, "I could see us playing this game forever," which is so sadistic and spot on for every Joker ever. I'm glad that they didn't change that fact. Bruce tries to punch him, doesn't work out well for him. It basically kind of ends at that point of like their confrontation with each other. But it's really cool. Again, I cannot say enough about how Scott Snyder is writing this. Is just brilliant. Like every issue just seems to add to the hype of this book, of this series, I should say. But yeah, I'm going to let's see here. I'm going to use this one. Because this one is funny because it is from another Batman movie. Hold me, thrill me, hold me, thrill me, kiss me,
Kiss
kill
me,
me
kill me.
by you two. I just think that fits here. It's better than Kiss from a Rose. I
Yeah,
think.
probably. So, all right. My second book is Magic the Gathering Untold Stories Jace number 2, because this finally came out. Finally. So in it, Jace is talking to Vraska on Ixalan. They're still meditating, trying to remember stories. So Jace is getting a whole bunch of flashbacks of Tezzeret, basically like maiming him and like torturing him to kind of be his protege. And they go back, they flashback this time on Shiv where they get they basically get ambushed by a bunch of Ashino kobolds. So Jace tries to like put them all together, where Tezzeret puts together a Thran dynamo that was buried and has the dynamo just completely kill everyone, which is nuts. And then shortly after that, you see Squee leading a treasure hunt. Basically, Squee gets blown up in a cave by goblin raiders and goblin bomb or goblin grenader goblin grenades. Like the goblin raiders actually is pretty cool, but the goblin grenade panel is actually like a goblin with another goblin on his back holding a giant barrel of powder with a torch. And they're like, yeah, that's right. And then at the end of the fight, like they're like, what happened to Squee? And he's like, oh, he's immortal. How does that work? And all of a sudden he just poofs back together. He's like, all right, let's go. I'm good. So Tezzeret and Jace are looking for some kind of artifact. Oh, what the hell was it called? I forget what it was. Oh, it was one of the Seelixes. One of the Seelixes. And they go to, why, I remember the name of this mountain. Valakut. They basically go to Valakut. And you just see Valakut in the background and they're just walking toward it toward the end. I really enjoyed this book. It went really fast, but it was very very cool magic lore style thing. Michael Conrad does a great job. Caitlin Yarsky does a great job drawing everything. So I'm going to use Motion City Soundtrack's Commit This to Memory. Tell Me That You're All Right, which was the lead single off Commit This to Memory, and actually is where the Commit This to Memory part comes from in the thing. I really liked it. I thought it was fun. If you like magic, it's a great book to check out. And Tezzeret's a giant douche. It's great.
All right, we have my final book. X-Men 97, Season 2, Number 1. And I think this is pretty much just going to follow like what the current X-Men season coming up. Just a little bit more detail, because I don't think they're going to show everything. Just like the Season 1 issue showed a little bit more detail, a little bit more background. The first part of the book is Forge and Bishop talking about finding the X-Men in time. Bishop references a lot of X-Men, the animated series, about him going, well, this isn't the first time the X-Men are dead or have died. And Forge is like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'll explain. So we get like a quick thing of someone in time is messing with this. He's pressing on his device and he's like, according to my device, the X-Men are split in two groups, each on different areas of time. And after this, we zoom to Sunspot and Jubilee are in a memorial in New York City for the X-Men. With other mutants, and there are humans there as well, because of course what better opportunity to start a fight than to do it for a memorial service, because humans are racist and stupid in this thing. So the fight starts out including some of the Brotherhood that came to kind of honor the X-Men. Because you have Earthquake, you had Firestarter. And as soon as the brawl starts, Jubilee and Sunspot are like, well, we really should. And she's kind of battling with herself a little bit. And she even does the whole angel and devil thing on her shoulder. The angel being Cyclops and the devil being Wolverine, going, you know, we should help everybody, and Wolverine going, just stand your ground, don't give an inch. And we get introduced to X-Factor as they come down to settle the crowd down and take care of the mutants that are starting the fight. And they pretty much take care of the, you know, the ones that started the fight. There are a couple innocent mutants that get taken for their own, quote, for their own safety, just because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sunspot and Jubilee, who are away from all that, they're several blocks away. And Sunspot's mother pulls up in her limo. Basically to disown him completely, saying, you know, you're involved with a terrorist organization, you know, you're a mutant, everybody hates mutants. She even says, you're my son and I love you, always is my son, but if our shareholders find out what you are, the company will tank. So she's like, goodbye. And that's like the end of that, which that's, you saw that in the first season of X-Men 97. So this kind of continues Sunspot's mother being kind of a kind of a B word.
Yeah.
While this goes on, Jubilee's like, raging at this point because she's like, the X-Men saved the world. And she's like, and this is how people treat, how dare you treat your son like this? Like, she's about to use her powers to blow up the limo. And Sunspot like keeps her from doing it. And while this happens, we see Cable keeping an eye on him. So Cable is full on in here watching. We see another group of mutants starting trouble, but they get their butts kicked by Cable, Archangel, and Psylocke. And we find out the mutants that they beat up are a bunch of Apocalypse lackeys. So there's that. And we get flashed over to the next spot of the mutants that are all being transported by Fa X Factor, kind of getting in like philosophical differences, of course. Multi-Man's just like, calm down, we will sort this out, but we needed to get you guys away from the normal humans.
Did you just call him
Well,
Multi-Man and not Multiple Man?
multiple man, sorry.
I just say you were about to get fired, my friend, because he is my
I
favorite
know, I know.
B
Well,
team
hey,
guy. Come on.
it's fine. He gets his butt kicked here at the end of the book
That's
by
fine.
none other than Exodus, who does kind of like the
Oh,
Magneto
fucking.
thing from X-Men animated series, where he's
Yeah.
trying to free all the mutants in this truck transport, going, come and follow me, my children, blah blah blah, because let's add another mutant with delusions of grandeur here to the fray, because we don't have enough of them. So that's the end of this book. It's fun. It gives you a nice little sneak peek for the upcoming season, and looking forward to it. And I'm going to choose, this is what I found here, I looked this up, Mutants Will Rise by Mutant Squad. It's a thrash metal anthem
Okay.
about a dystopian future where mutants take over the world. That's pretty good. Doesn't say who, well, it says Mutant Squad is the band. I've never heard of them, but now I'll have
Me
to look
either.
them up. It was either
That's
that
pretty
or,
cool.
yeah, there's like, I had to say, like, songs about mutants, and it just popped up with all these things.
Jeez. That reminds me, before we go to like Baltimore later this year, remind me to buy a sketchbook. Like,
Okay.
and it needs to be green so that I can start getting my everyone dude does a different multiple man dupe sketch. Because that's what I want done on there is just multiple man sketches.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I did not get to a third book this week, but I did buy the Doom Quest 616 day blank ver or bag mystery bag just to see what I got, and I got a black and white copy of Doom Quest, which I'm pretty sure comes in every single copy, but I got a Peach Momoka Fantastic Four 258 variant, which goes for about $35 online right now. So,
Nice.
not terrible, not a bad pull in my opinion. This is actually one of those Peach Momoka covers I actually like, so that's pretty good. So,
Good, good.
because like I said, I'm not a huge fan, but I understand the appeal. I mostly like her variants versus her full book work because I feel like she does better work when it's just a variant. Like she only needs to focus on that versus the whole book. But
I think
that's
she's
just me.
good for the horror. If you're into horror
Yeah.
books,
Oh,
the horror
yeah,
stuff
for sure.
is top notch. It's usually
For
the stuff
sure.
that's not horror stuff. It's not
Right.
as bad, or not as good, I should say.
Hoor. I
Hoor.
mean, hoor, not whore. I mean, wait, what am
Hoor.
I saying? Hoor, not whore.
But I am looking forward to seeing what these how this Marvel superheroes and magic is going to play. I will be
Yeah.
playing, I think, Friday night. So I will be doing that.
Damn it. Well, sorry. I was like, oh, did I get that dirty? No, I fucking scratched that brand new PS5 controller I bought. Damn it.
How the heck did you do that already?
I don't know, but it's look, it's got like this wee little black mark. See it?
Oh, okay.
On the big pad, which isn't a
Yeah.
big deal 'cause they don't use that part a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, that's not coming off. That's because it's not dirt. That is a fucking scratch. I think I dropped it like on wood, like in somewhere else in the room. That might be marker. I don't know. It's definitely not coming off though, which sucks. So, but it's okay. I've been playing my Switch more often because I'm playing Breath of the Wild. So, yeah. Game is so big. So big.
Oh,
So,
I'm
but
sure.
anyway, that's pretty much all we got for tonight, guys. Remember, X-Men 97 does kick out at the end of next week, I think.
Yeah, it's the 1st of July.
Yeah, so 2 weeks. Supergirl's next week. Spider-Man shortly after that. It's going to be a pretty packed summer. And also, don't forget, we have our 40th anniversary sale coming up on a week from Saturday. So it's on the, what, 20? Or it's on the 30th, right?
I believe
30th?
so. Yeah.
Yeah. On the 30th of June. So make sure you guys check that out. Actually, no, that can't be right. Can it? 27th of June. 27th of June. So it's Saturday the 27th. All locations, 20% off most of the store. 40-cent dollar books. So excludes the warehouse. However, we have a cool warehouse announcement to make on Monday. So for those of you who shop the warehouse, you will be very excited. We're going to announce that on Monday, so make sure you check that out. Probably late afternoon sometime. Like as in Todd and I may be doing a video together from the warehouse about it. So
Ooh.
yeah, it's going to be kind of fun. So make sure you check that out. And yeah, that's pretty much it. If you guys end up being busy and you don't listen to us again until after 4th of July, we make sure you guys have a safe and happy holiday and don't blow your hands off. You need them to flip pages on comics. So, but anyway, have a great night. Make sure you support your local comic shop. If it's ours, even cooler. And we will see you guys next week for another episode.